So we have a wonderful group here, and we have a wonderful pastor that does the youth group, and we have the privilege to listen to a couple of snapshots today. So with that, I'm going to hand over the mic to Chet, and Chet is going to do the introducing and lead us through this. So please enjoy. Amen.
All right, good morning. I have the absolute honor of pastoring the young people in this church and even a lot that are outside of this church. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see what God does and is doing and is about to do. You're going to see a couple of the young men in the youth church speak today, but there's beyond that, there's so many that I'm just blown away. So, this first young man we're gonna bring up has a unique place in my heart. I started with him in kids' church, and then followed him up to youth church. As many of the kids in youth now started when I was doing kids' church, but he has an amazing anointing and a power that's beyond his years. So if you guys could stand up and welcome Caden Turk, he's gonna share with us this morning.
All right, I'm gonna get my stopwatch going, so I try not to run over. I'm Caden Turk. I am a freshman at JCC, Jefferson Community College. I am going for a degree in electrical engineering and computer science. I like technology. I played soccer in high school. Love athletics. Yeah. And if you asked me, that's probably the answer I would give you. That's what I would say I am. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today, because really none of that stuff matters all that much. So let me tell you who I am. Let's get rid of that old definition. I'm Caden Turk. I'm a child of God. On fire with the Holy Spirit. Have a calling to speak. Have a heart for the youth. Love Jesus. I think that's a much better definition of who I am. And oftentimes, I think that we're scared of what the world's going to think, if that's the answer I come up with. If someone were to ask me on the street who I am and I told them that answer, what would they think? But there's a very good chance that they're going to be very intrigued if I answer that way. Because the world doesn't answer like that. The world is missing something that we in the church have, and that's Jesus. So that's just kind of how I wanted to open. And before I really dive in, I am going to try not to cry. I was meeting with Isaiah before this, and I said, how much do you bet that I can make it through without crying? This is going to be the test right here. So I am very fortunate to be raised up in an amazing home. My parents are phenomenal role models. In a world where there's broken homes everywhere, mine was the opposite. I saw very little brokenness in my home. Any arguments that my parents had were settled quicker than I most of the time even knew they had an argument. I look up to my dad, kindest person you'll ever meet. He would do anything for anyone in this place. I look up to my mom. Same thing, servant's heart. Just an absolute blessing to people who know her. Would give anything to anyone. And then I have Chet. And Chet is now my uncle, which is very cool. There is no one in the world I would rather have as my uncle than Chet. When I found out they were getting married, I was thrilled, to say the least. He has had a massive influence in my life and all the lives of the youth. I mean, I don't know, this church probably doesn't know how blessed they are to have Chet. He is phenomenal. I mean, he really is. He can listen to the Holy Spirit like I want to. I mean, just he has a message planned, and then the Holy Spirit's moving, and we just follow the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. He's a role model. So those obviously, there's most of you actually who have had a role in my life. Well, those are the big three that have really, really shaped who I am today. So if you could just give them a clap, that would be great. I think I did pretty good. I didn't cry too bad. All right. So I was kind of thinking, you know, how am I going to do this today? Because typically Snapshot Sunday is more of a testimony. I like to think I have more of a boring testimony, which is not a bad thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over three different points in my life where I went through some struggles and what I learned from those struggles. And hopefully every single person in here can take something away from it. So I'm going to get a Kleenex. Sorry about that. I'm actually doing a lot better than I was yesterday. So yesterday I would have got up here and probably fallen over from sneezing. So my first real thing that I kind of struggled with was being born a leader, which does not sound like something that should be a struggle. Sounds like a gift that God has given me, and it is. It's a great gift. But when I was younger, I didn't see it that way at all. I saw it as a curse, actually, because it comes with a lot of responsibility. You have all these younger kids, and most of the kids in this church are younger than me. There's very few that are older. And so all these kids were looking up to me, and I didn't want to lead them astray. I didn't want the pressure. I didn't choose that. That was put on me. I didn't have a choice. So I was kind of like, God, why? I don't want this. Give it to somebody else. Somebody else can have it. They're more faithful than I am. Like, why'd you pick me? So I struggled with that for a while, and it really changed when I started to see it as a gift. And He is a good, good Father. He gives good gifts, and He gives gifts that are for us that He knows that we can take. Now, it might feel outside of our comfort zone, but He knows that we can step up to the plate because we have Him. When we are weak, He is strong. And so I started to see this as a gift and started to embrace it. Be like, okay, Lord, use me. I don't wanna lead people astray. I have this unique opportunity where I don't even have to try and I can lead people. That's awesome. Let my life be a beacon. So that's something that I kind of learned. But it extends to everybody here. Because we all have gifts. It says it right there in the Bible. All of us have gifts, and they're all different. That's the great part about it. That's what builds the body of Christ. We all have these unique gifts that piece in. We can all reach different people. There's going to be people that I can't reach, that Britton can reach, that Liza can reach, that my parents can reach. That's how the body of Christ should work, and that's how it works when it's functioning correctly. Just as a little example, I'd like to talk about Britton for a second. Britton's in the back. He's on the steps if you want to look at him. Make his face turn red. Britton has a gift. He is the most loyal kid you'll ever meet. He has a servant's heart as well. He will do anything for anyone. It doesn't matter. I will be sitting on the couch, not wanting to get up. Hey, Britton, will you get me a drink of water? And 9 times out of 10, Britton's going to do it without even asking why, or he's just going to do it. Now, do I take advantage of that sometimes? Maybe. But that's a gift that has been placed in Britton. And we all have gifts like that. And it's so important to not only recognize those gifts, but embrace them. Because if we don't recognize the gift, then we're not going to be able to embrace it because we don't know we have it. So we have to take a step back sometimes and analyze our life and say, God, what gift have you given me? What gifts have you given me? Because there's usually the obvious one, maybe the obvious two, but there's some other gifts he's placed in you as well that might be a little bit harder to find. So if we stop and examine our hearts and say, what gift have you put in me? And we can find that gift, well, it's amazing because we can start to embrace that gift, pray about that gift, and step out in that gift. So that was me kind of learning to become a leader. Really a big trial in my life that happened next was injuries. As most of you know, you've probably seen me in a cast or crutches or boot or, you know, you name it. I've probably had it on my foot. I had a stress fracture in my heel. Took like 3 to 4 months to heal. And then 2 weeks later, I fractured my foot. So that was another 2 months. And physical therapy, of course, throughout the whole process. And it was just very discouraging. As I said with my worldly introduction, I like athletics. So for me, it was very tough not being able to do anything. And I never questioned, God, why are you leaving me alone? I never felt alone, away from God, but rather, God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? And I now know why. And I think that's a big thing right there. A lot of times when we're in the struggle, we have blinders on. We can't see the obvious things that he's working. And then there's other things where our earthly eyes can't see it anyway. He's got so much of a higher plan that we couldn't see it if we wanted to. And we want to a lot of times. We're asking him, like, Lord, show me what you're doing. I can't see it. And so now I see what he was doing. And he was preparing me for my concussion. My concussion was tough. It was a pretty bad concussion. I got hit on the soccer field and tried to stand back up. That didn't work. I kind of stumbled back to the ground and fell over. Very dizzy. So we went to the doctors, and, you know, they diagnosed me with a concussion or whatever. No big deal. Well, a little bit later, my face half of my face became temporarily paralyzed. Of course, that's kind of scary. I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, why is my face drooping? Why do I have to tape my eyes shut when I go to bed? But I had already built a lot of trust by that point. Because in my previous injuries, I had learned that I gotta trust him. That my identity doesn't lie in sports. It doesn't lie in athletics. Because I didn't realize it before this, but a lot of my identity I did weigh in athletics. If you asked me that, I wouldn't say I did. Because I didn't really realize it myself. But when they were taken away, I realized, ooh, I'm putting a lot of weight in how well I perform. So I started to develop this trust of like, okay, I don't know what you're doing, but I know it's good. And I know you're teaching me through it. And so by the concussion point, I was at that place where I was doing better. I think it would have been a lot worse if I hadn't had the concussions. Because basically they tell you, don't think, don't watch TV, do nothing, basically. So I'm sitting on the couch thinking about how not to think. Doesn't work. And meanwhile, I'm just thinking about all the homework that I'm falling behind on. The doctor assigned a note saying they can't assign me homework, but it doesn't do any good when you come back to school and they pile on the homework. So I'm just thinking about, I was in AP Calculus, AP Chemistry, tough courses. And I'm just like, oh, this is painful. Like, I wish I could be doing homework, and I tried. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. So I get back to school, and I am very behind, especially in calculus and chemistry. Now, I love calculus. If you know me, I'm a math guy. Science, not as much. So what I decided to do was drop AP chemistry. Now, I had never dropped a course in my life. Neither did I ever think I would drop a course. And unless I had that concussion, there's no way I would have dropped the course, even though I did not like the course. Don't like chemistry at all. Sorry, Rob. So I did that, and it was the best thing. God had used the thing of the concussion to turn it for good. And now I didn't have that stress load of chemistry. And my senior year was great. I had a lot of time to talk with Mr. Rivers in the classroom. I wasn't stressing about homework all the time. I got to grow closer to God because of it. And so I see after the fact, this was a blessing, because there's no way I would have dropped that course without that concussion. And of course, I fully recovered from the concussion, and the whole rest of the year was affected for the positive. So what can you take away from that? First off, number one, your identity is not found in anything but him. Anything. I don't care what it is. You're smart at school. You're really smart. That's not your identity. Sure, you're smart. Describes you, maybe. But it's not who you are. You're athletic. Sure, you're athletic, but it's not who you are. Just describes a feature of you. Something that you do. Something that you're good at. Don't let these worldly things define who you are. They're not bad, but they're not who you are. And let's see, how am I doing on time? Okay. Might run a little over the 20 minutes, but not terrible. Last thing. the hardest for me by far. In middle school, I had a friend group. Me and four other kids. And these are good kids. But they were going a different direction than I wanted to. And, you know, I'd go over to spend the night at one of their houses. And there would come a time in the night where they're like, okay, it's time to watch a movie. I'm like, sweet, yeah, let's watch a movie. And they get a movie queued up, and I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Some R-rated movie or something like that. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable watching that. I don't want to watch it. But I'm outnumbered, 4-1. I'm not at my own house. So what can I really do? I mean, I did my part. So I had two options there. Originally, I said, okay, God, I did my part. I told him I didn't want to watch it. What else can I do? So I was just going to watch the movie. And then I hear God's voice. He's like, you don't have to watch the movie. There's no reason you have to watch that movie. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, you figure it out. I'm like, okay. So I put on some headphones and got out my iPad and watched my own movie. But I couldn't keep doing that. And I didn't want them to wear off on me. Because if I would have stayed in that friend group for all of high school, there's a very good chance that when I was at a weak place, I would have caved. And they would have started to have an influence in my life. And God said, no, I don't want them to have an influence in your life. I want you to have an influence in their life. So I started becoming friends with them, not best friends. And that was hard because what that left me with was feeling alone. Because I no longer had that best friend group. No longer had that best friend. Of course, I was surrounded by everyone here, and that was great. And I am incredibly thankful that I had Maddie through the whole thing. But Maddie's not a guy. Thank goodness for that. So I was still missing that brotherly bond. So I prayed a lot. Send someone. Send me someone. Give me that friend that I can talk to. Give me that friend that, you know, we can have that fellowship with. And it was a long 3 years. 3 years of nobody that I had as my best friend. Now, I had a lot of good friends at the youth group, for sure. There's no doubt about it. A lot of them were younger than me. So they were still kind of maturing in their faith. But I didn't have that best friend. And then God spoke again. And he said to me, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting. And he's like, stop. Why are you waiting for me to give you a friend? You have all these people, and yet you're just waiting. You're just praying about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with prayer, but there's got to be some type of action. And I wasn't seeking after any friendships. I was waiting for this magical best friend to just come, and we're instantly side by side walking through the fire. But I wasn't looking for anyone. I had people right in front of my face, and I wasn't even looking because I was waiting for this blaring, obvious, this is your best friend. So that was the moment when I started looking in front of my eyes. And what do I see? Isaiah, who has been here the whole time. But I want to encourage you, God's timing is perfect. Because Isaiah is going to share his story. I was working through some things. He was working through some things. At that time, our friendship would not have been all that beneficial. We were both going through some stuff. We wouldn't have really been able to help each other walk through that fire because we were both in our own fires. So we got through that stuff, and God's like, here you go. There he is. And now I've gotten the chance to, over the last 6 months, grow closer to Isaiah, pray with him, talk to him, pick his brain. It's been great. God's timing is perfect. And we don't realize it when we're in the midst of things. That's just the truth. When we're in the middle of things, we're not thinking God's timing's perfect. Because typically, God's timing is slower than our timing. And we don't understand why in the world his timing is not my timing. We don't know better than God. I certainly didn't know that he was going through stuff. And I wasn't examining myself to see if I could be a good friend at that time. Turns out I wasn't really ready for that. I still needed to work on some of my own things before I could really be a great friend to him. I'm going to end with this. We often get discouraged when we pray for something for a long time. We don't see anything. I think most of us have probably had that, where there's something that we've been praying for and praying for and praying for and still haven't seen anything yet. That is not a bad thing. Because when we continue to pray after years, maybe even decades, we're walking in faith. The fact that we are still praying is a testament to our faith. There's no reason that we should be praying 10 years later if we've seen nothing happen. There isn't. But if you're still praying that prayer, it shows your faith level. And it just feels like a struggle. But it's actually a blessing. Because if it is God's will, and if that thing does come to pass, all of that time spent, all of that time that you spent praying, it all pours in. You get all of that when your prayer gets answered. And it might not be answered in the way you think. But everything that was poured in gets poured back. And so when I found Isaiah, it wasn't just me finding a best friend. It was so much more. It was all of that prayer time that I had spent praying poured back. And I was instantly filled up. I was ready to go. And that's what our prayers can do. Prayer is important. Don't get discouraged. That is all I have.
So good. Good job, Caden. This next gentleman that's going to come up, Isaiah is going to come up and share. Isaiah's been, it was the same thing. He had him when he was just a little tyke in kids' church. But there's always been, and I've said it even from when he was little, that there's been an anointing on him. Actually on all of the Yowzy kids, which is a testament to you guys. There's an anointing on all of your kids that I haven't ever seen before in kids that young. And so I don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to be something. If they continue to cultivate that and work it out, and Isaiah is one of those that God's going to do something that maybe we've never seen before. So if you guys could stand up and welcome Isaiah.
My timer too. Let's see here if we can't get it. the time. My notes. All right. So my name is Isaiah Yazzie. I am 20 years old, and I am super blessed to have grown up in the same church. It's been a crazy time in my life. I've grown so much. Looking back, just thinking about all the things that God has done in my life has been eye-opening, to say the least. Like where I came from, what God's pulled me through, it's just been incredible. And so I gave my life to Jesus probably when I was 3 to 5 years old. Like I grew up like, I want to live for Jesus. Like that is my passion. And so, yeah, I've always felt like I've had a calling on my life. And I'm still figuring all the details about that, but I've always felt like God is my everything. Like, I got to chase after him. And so that was kind of my life growing up. You know, I lived on a farm. I worked on a farm, was homeschooled. So that was kind of just my life. And came to church, experienced Jesus, learned about the Holy Spirit, learned about reading your Bible, how God loves us. Like, so many of those incredible cornerstone faith. Like, that's like the cornerstone of our faith. And so, yeah, basically, that was kind of my life until I turned about 13, 14, when I really started to get tangled up in some sin. And it was a rough time, because the thing was is that when I got caught up in all this stuff, and it just kept happening and happening and happening and happening, and I just got so discouraged, like, I can't get out of this. I can't beat this at this point. I started to feel like sin separates us from God, right? And so pretty quickly, it's like I didn't stop believing in God, but it was like, God, where are you? I don't feel you anymore. And I realized now sin was separating me from him. And so, you know, pretty soon the lies of the devil start coming in. Like, he starts attacking your identity. Like, my sin issue was what defined who I was. And so pretty soon shame started to creep in. Like, I can't talk to anybody about this because any shred of dignity that I have would be gone at that point. I start to feel lonely, like I can't talk to anybody. I can't do it. Pretty soon, you know, you feel fear, and then fear starts creeping in because fear is like behind a lot of things in our lives. Fear is just, it's an incredible, powerful thing that the enemy likes to use against us. And a lot of times I used to let it get to me. Yeah. And so one night, I remember I was coming back from a youth night in Watertown. And I came to the realization, like, maybe I'm not the only one that struggles with these things. Like, maybe I'm not the only one that is going through stuff. And I remember going to bed that night, and I just couldn't sleep. I tried to go to bed anyways. And, like, the weight of, like, God was speaking that night, and I knew he was there. I felt him. And I hadn't felt that in a while. And so it was kind of a crazy time. But I ended up, for some reason, I went on YouTube. Like, I loved YouTube at that point. And this was probably like when I was 16, for reference, but I went on YouTube, and on the first recommended was a sermon, and this never happens, because I didn't really listen to sermons on YouTube, really, and it was a sermon about how God offers us his love, and his acceptance, and his grace, and sometimes we feel so unworthy that we will not accept it. Like, it kind of showed, she predicted it, well, kind of like, showed this, told the story about how somebody had a Bible, and they were trying to give it to this man on the street, but he would not accept it. He understood the power of it, but he felt so unworthy. He said, give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else. Like, they deserve it, but I can't accept it for myself because I'm just so dirty. I can't take it. And I realized that was me. I knew what God wanted, what he had to say. I knew that he loved me, but I didn't know it. There's a difference between knowing and knowing. And so, yeah, that was where I was at, and God started to speak to me. He's like, no, Isaiah, I do love you. You are my son, and all that, your sin does not define who you are. You're struggling with this? Yes. And do I want that to break that off? Yes. But that does not define who you are. And he's like, I still have a plan for you. I still have a purpose for you. All your callings, you didn't just have one shot. You didn't blow your calling. I still got a plan for your life. And so I just remember crying on the floor that night. I don't even know what time it was at night. It was late. It was a late, late night. And I felt like I had to resurrender my life to him that night. And so I was like, God, take this. I can't take the weight. I can't go through it alone. I need you right now. And he just spoke over me that night. And I just remember waking up feeling like I was free. You know, it was that kind of a feeling. And so not long after, I got reunited with our youth church here, and that was an instrumental time in my life of like where God really started to grow. I started to feel like I had a community, something that I could talk to people, And so, yeah, basically that was kind of my life-changing, a turning moment in my life where it was just like, that was the moment I could say that God truly, truly spoke to me, and my life was never the same after that. So yeah, when I was preparing this, I had a long spiel, but it was kind of crazy. It was Friday night, I was just praying, and God's like, I want you to change it. I want you to change up some things. I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. I'm more of a planner than that. So anyhow, so I have a story, and he put this on my heart. And so it's about how it's in Matthew 14, verse 22. If you want to turn there, it's up to you. But basically, it's a story about how when Jesus walked on the water. And just for reference, before this, just before this happened, God had, he had just fed 5,000 people with 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish, I think. Anyhow, something like that. But basically, yeah, so he had just done this. The disciples really have no excuses at this point. This was a faith high, right? They just seen God divide, like multiply all these things, all this fish, all this food. And so, yeah, like they have no excuses at this point. But anyhow, I'll start reading. So it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And so this is kind of my story past that point. Like, sometimes I know where God's calling me, I know I'm in the right place, but there's things coming against me. Like, there's things that are happening, and it's just like, God, I know you're here, and I know that you're with me, but why am I did what you said, and yet I'm fighting all these waves. I'm fighting all this stuff. And as we read on, it says that at about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." And so, basically, it's kind of funny that a lot of times we let fear dictate how we see our situation. And so, they let fear dictate their, we often let fear dictate how we see our situation. And so, we can be going through something, and we can be like, I can't see because I'm so blinded by my fear. I can't see you moving because I'm so, so afraid. And so beyond that, it says that, but Jesus spoke to them at once saying, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. And like, that's the thing. As Christians, we know that Jesus is right beside us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he is always there. And like, that's like, I don't know how many times in the Bible God has said, don't be afraid. And it's a hard thing to totally grasp. But he says it all the time, and it's true. So, but it says there, and it says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. I find it funny that even after Jesus spoke, Peter still had a little bit of doubt. You can kind of tell. It's like, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you. And Jesus is like, yes, come. But it's funny how, like, even us, like, sometimes we think the disciples had all this faith, you know, right? Like, they're so faith-filled, and this is like, no, they're human too. They were human too. They had struggles. And anyhow, so it says, Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink, and he shouted out, save me, Lord. And so how many times in my own life God has called me out of the boat, which I kind of picture as my comfort zone. God's like, all right, I want you to step out of your comfort zone here. I'm going to try to pull you out of that a little bit. I'm asking you to step out of that. And how many times in my life, every time that I have stepped out, like leading pre-service prayer, that was a huge leap of faith for me. I hate talking in front of people. This is a big stretch of faith too as well. But it's so freeing. It is incredible. And like, yeah. So basically, he says, he began to sink. And sometimes, in the middle of our storm, what we focus on will grow bigger. And that is a fact. Like, if we focus on our problems, if we focus on the waves, they will grow. But if we focus on Jesus, he will grow bigger. And suddenly we begin to realize, like, Jesus is so much bigger than any of our issues, any of our situations. Like, God is so much bigger. So it didn't take very long. So he's sinking, right? And it says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. It says, you have so little faith, why did you doubt me? I find it interesting, it says he immediately reached out. He didn't wait and be like, oh, I see you sinking down there. Well, you should have kept your eye on me, bye, right? No, he's just like, he immediately reached out and grabbed him. And like, God doesn't just let us sink. He's always there, and he will reach out and grab us. And then it says, when they did get back to the boat, it says the wind stopped, and the disciples worshiped Jesus, saying, you really are the Son of God. It's funny, because despite the storm that you're in, will you step out of your boat? Will you step out of your comfort zone? Because that's where freedom and our growth begins. So, yeah, basically, God's been calling me over and over and over. Take a little step of faith. Take another step of faith. Take another step of faith. And it's crazy, because there's so much freedom when it's like freedom in the free fall, right? It's Jesus is so powerful in those times when we finally do step out, when we see him move. And that's like how our faith is built, right? Trust is not something that you gain overnight. It's built. There's time. You have spent time. Like, it's built over time. And so that's kind of what God's been doing in my life lately. Like, he's been building my trust and my faith. Like, all right, so if I can do this, and God has called me out to do this, suddenly the thing that I thought was so unreachable isn't so crazy anymore. Like, I never expected myself to be up here. And so, yeah, it's just been a crazy, crazy time in my life where God's calling me. It's like I hit the accelerator pedal in this last few years. It's like the community, I would say one of the biggest, biggest avenue of that growth has been the youth church. Just like the feeling of community. Like, I felt so alone through all that, those couple years where I was lost. And just the community, like, to be able to have people that you can rely on, lean into, be like, I'm struggling with this. That's super powerful when you can talk to people. Like, I'm struggling with this. Like, there's a lot of freedom in that. And so, yeah, the youth group has been incredible. Like Kayden said, just finding that friend. Like, I've never really, being homeschooled, you don't really have a lot of people that you interact with. And so it was just kind of like, I was always wishing for that friend, right? And so I think long time ago, Charlie Sweet had a word about us being close or something like that along those lines. And so I thought it was kind of pretty cool. So yeah, basically my challenge to y'all is when God calls you to step out of your boat, will you step out? Because that is a deep question, because a lot of times that tests our faith. That tests, it's going to pull on something that we may not want to have pulled on, right? And so, yeah, that is basically it. And I did it in 13 minutes. So I think I'm doing pretty good. But yeah, no, that's about it.
That's good. Yeah, both words are really good. And it's always a blessing to me to see or hear about how God moves in other people, to hear somebody's testimony. One of the things, if I meet somebody, I'll say, like, what's your story? Because it's so powerful to me. It's something that no one can deny. No one can deny your testimony and your story. Is so powerful because no one can deny what Jesus did in you. You're telling somebody what God did, and what are they going to say? No, he didn't. Like, yeah, he did, right? So just having your testimony ready, just having your testimony to be able to share or to talk to somebody, or have not even your whole testimony, even just what God has done recently, can be so powerful because it is the truth of what God is doing in you, and it sparks faith in someone else. Because if God can do it for you, he can do it for me, right? If God can help you get out of your comfort zone, then he can do that for me, right? If he can help me, help you not feel lonely and be part of a community, he can do that for me. And so it's super powerful. So let's just pray to close. Jesus, I just thank you for your word. God, I thank you for these young men. I pray a blessing over them and everything that they do. God, I pray, Lord, that as we ponder these things and we think about them, that throughout the week, Lord, that you'd be close. God, that you would be drawing us near to you every day. And Lord, let us respond to you in faith and in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.